Test 1. You're going to listen to a lecture about Otzi the Iceman. As you listen, take notes under the headings provided. You will be given questions to answer using your notes after both lectures have finished. Your notes will not be marked. You now have 30 seconds to look at the note-taking headings. Now listen.
Good morning. And today I'm going to talk to you about an important archaeological find. It's what we call a mummy. You all know what that is, don't you? It was found in 1991, and we usually refer to this mummy as Otzi the Iceman. That's spelt O-T-Z-I, by the way. That's just the name people gave to this man when he was found. So, I'm going to focus first of all on how Otzi was found, and then go on to talk about the work scientists are doing on his body, and also on all the things which were found with it, and what the results of this research can tell us. Now, first, let me start by talking about what makes Otzi so interesting. After all, we know about plenty of mummified bodies. There are artificially preserved ones from places like Egypt and Peru, and also there are naturally preserved ones, which are usually found in what we call peat bogs, that is, wet places, like swamps. Those mummies date usually from about 2,000 years ago. Well, one thing about Otzi is that he's one of the oldest examples of a mummy we have. He's much, much older than most others. But actually, that isn't really what makes him so valuable to science. It's more the way Otzi became naturally mummified, because he's what we call a wet mummy. That means his tissues, in other words, all the parts of his body, are still soft and very elastic. They haven't gone dry and hard, and therefore they are very suitable for scientific analysis. So, now I've mentioned how important to science he is, let me go on to talk about how Otzi was actually found. Well, it was totally by chance. In September 1991, a couple from Nuremberg in Germany were hiking in the Alps, quite high up in the mountains, close to the border of Austria and Italy. And for some reason, they went off the usual path and through a kind of small rocky valley that was full of melting watery ice. And suddenly, they saw something sticking out of the ice, and at first they thought it was just, you know, a heap of rubbish. But then they had a closer look, and to their horror they realised there were shoulders and a back, so they knew it was a human body. So they assumed, not unnaturally, this was a dead mountain climber, someone who had been lost in a climbing accident. There were some bits of wood and cloth and grass lying around as well, so they thought, well, we must report this, and they took photos and they went to the police. Then, the next thing, of course, was to recover the body, which, by the way, was done with great difficulty. There were no archaeologists present at this stage, of course, because they thought this was a modern body, that of a climber killed in an accident. The day after the discovery, a team of Austrian scientists made the first attempt to recover the body. But they had to give up, because the weather was terrible. There was snow and high winds, and a lot of very cold water around the body. The next day, they tried again, but this time they couldn't finish the job, because there were no helicopters available to carry the body away. In the end, it took another 2 days, with snow falling and ice water melting and refreezing, before they got the body out. It was frozen solid in a block of ice, together with a lot of objects which were lying on and around it. Fortunately, they filmed everything they did, which was very useful for the archaeologists later on. Right, now, as I've just said, it was very difficult to remove the body, but eventually they did it, and Otzi was taken to Austria for analysis. This is what I'll focus on now, the scientific analysis. Well, the scientists soon began to realise that this was not a recent death they were dealing with, but an important find from the distant past. So, how did they establish the age of this find? Well, of course, carbon dating is the normal way to do this, and samples from the body and the possessions found with it were dated in this way, by carbon dating. But the first person to see how very ancient this body was an archaeologist. He knew when he saw an axe found with it. You know what an axe is? That familiar tool with a wooden handle and a metal or stone head? Well, when he saw this particular design of axe, he recognised immediately that it was a kind of tool used around 4,000 years ago. So then there was great excitement, and in fact further tests showed that the body was more like 5,000 years old, dating from a time when the discovery of the metal copper was transforming, indeed revolutionising, life in Europe. And so what was this man, Otzi, as we call him, like? Well, he was around 45 years old when he died, quite an old man at that time, when life was harder than it is today, and there was no modern medicine. His body showed signs of stress and ageing, especially in his joints. I mean, in his knees and elbows. There are signs of disease, too. He had parasites, worms, in his intestines. Interestingly, his teeth show no signs of decay, but they are worn down. Probably by his diet. He probably ate grain or bread that contained small stones. The left side of his jaw also shows a lot of wear and tear, suggesting that he used his teeth as a kind of tool when he was working with wood or leather or other soft materials. Oh, and I mustn't forget to tell you about one other extremely interesting feature of this man's body, one which I myself find most intriguing. He had tattoos. In fact, he had over 50 tattoos on his skin. Now, these are not tattoos done in the modern way with needles, but they were done by making cuts in the skin and then rubbing charcoal into the cuts. You know charcoal? It's the black substance, which is made of burnt wood. A painful process, you may think, but worth it to make him look more attractive? Well, no, I don't think these tattoos were done as decoration. No, these appear to be tattoos used as a kind of medical treatment. They were applied to parts of the body that had been subjected to heavy stress. In fact, they correspond to places where acupuncture needles are applied. So I think what we may well have here is an example of the techniques of acupuncture being used for pain relief a whole amazing 2,000 years earlier than any use of this procedure previously known about. Right, so now let's take a look at his possessions. This man was carrying a great deal of stuff with him when he died, and these things give us all kinds of clues to his lifestyle and status. And it seems he was a man of high status in his society. For example, the axe I mentioned earlier, which is made of copper and wood. Now, copper, as I said, was a new, highly valued material at that time. So the axe was something of a status symbol. And of course, at the same time, a practical tool with several different uses. It could be used, for example, for cutting wood, and also as a weapon for self-defence. And there was also a stone dagger. A dagger is a short knife, made of a type of stone which is not found anywhere near the area where this man died. So this was probably a very desirable item gained by trading. And so both these objects, the axe and the dagger, show that Otzi, when he was alive, was an important person. And next, I'd like to go on to tell you about some of the other things he was carrying with him. There's a quiver, for example. That's a skin bag for carrying arrows and also tools in. There's a wooden bow for firing arrows. There's a net for catching birds and rabbits for food. And there's a backpack made out of wood and skin. And some of these objects are especially interesting, like the wooden containers he had, possibly for carrying food in. Now, we know that people at this time had ceramic containers, that is like china pots for food. But these wooden containers were probably lightweight travel goods. So he was using wooden containers rather as we might use plastic or paper plates for a picnic. And there are also some lumps of organic matter, which turned out, when they were analysed, to be fungus. Something like mushrooms, but in this case, a fungus that we know has antibiotic properties and also contains oils that can help treat the parasites this man was suffering from. If you remember, I mentioned earlier that Otzi had parasitic worms in his intestines. So it seems he was carrying the bits of fungus for medicinal purposes. This was actually his first aid kit, and not part of his food supplies. And now, if we go on and we look at his clothes, let's see what Otzi was wearing. Well, there are some really quite surprisingly sophisticated shoes made of several materials, grass and leather, and a very well-preserved fur cap. Now, it really is in a remarkable state of preservation after such a very long time. And there's a skillfully woven grass mat. We're not sure, but we think he used it to keep the rain off. These things all help to shine a light on what everyday life was like in that unimaginably distant time. Right, and now in the last part of my lecture, I'd like to mention some of the theories put forward about Otzi. How did he live and how did he die? And, well, there have been a great many theories put forward about this. It's been suggested that he was a shaman. That's spelt S-H-A-M-A-N, which is a kind of mystic, spiritual leader. But except for the high status we think he had in his society, there's no real evidence at all for this. Another theory is he was a metal worker. But again, there's nothing much to back up this idea. Apart from the axe, he had none of the other tools you would expect a metal worker to need. And there's another theory that with all the stuff he was carrying, he might have been a trader. Well, all that stuff appears to have been his own personal survival equipment rather than trade goods. And do the bow and arrows lead us to think he was a hunter? Well, again, they could have been just for his own protection. In my opinion, though, there is quite a lot to indicate that he was a shepherd. All that equipment would enable him to live alone up in the mountains for long periods of time. He would have been able to kill or gather his own food, for example, and repair his clothes and tools if they were damaged or worn. We can't be completely sure, but I favour this theory. Right, now one question which has occupied scientists and generated a lot of interest is, how did Otzi die? And yet again, there have been many theories and a lot of controversy. At first, it seemed most likely that he'd met his death in a sudden winter snowstorm. Maybe he got lost in the mountains and he froze to death. Later on, some people started to think that this was a case of ritual sacrifice, that he was killed, maybe by priests, for some religious reason, to make the crops grow something like that. It wasn't until 2001, a full 10 years after the initial discovery, that some new X-rays changed everything, because they revealed something nobody had noticed, that there was a small but very sharp flint arrowhead buried deep in the flesh of the body's left shoulder. Further investigation showed that this arrow had made a wound which caused heavy bleeding and possibly paralysed his left arm. So he must have suffered heavy blood loss from this terrible wound, and indeed this in itself was enough to cause death. But there were also cuts to one hand, bruises, and evidence of a heavy blow to the head. And I think it can now be said for certain that just before his death, Otzi was engaged in some violent and bloody hand-to-hand fighting. Now, the clock tells me that I must stop there for today. Next week, we'll look in more detail at the implications of this find for causing some big changes in our view of this area of prehistory. Thanks for your attention.
That was the end of Listening One. You now have 15 seconds to look over your notes.